Don't you just love that when the Holy Ghost shows up? You know, there's just a lot of things going on right now in the physical and in the spirit. There's a lot of opportunities that's coming down the pike. You know, there are going to be opportunities that you're going to have that you're going to say, I didn't see that coming. You know that God's going to do some things this year that you're never going to see coming. But you know what we can do? We can see in the Spirit that He's doing something and not speak against the promises.
Yes.
Because we may not see the exact thing. We may not see that thing that's going to happen. We may not see the opportunity that's about to present itself. But we can see His promises and we can say, Lord, I believe You. I trust in You.
Yes.
And I believe that's where we're going. This is the year of new beginnings. We're about to see some amazing things happen. You know, I'm reminded of this because when me and Heather first got together back when I was 18 years old, I had no vision for anything. I mean, I was ADD and dyslexic. I didn't even graduate high school. I had nothing. My future was not, I mean, it was in jeopardy. I had no clue what was going to happen. And you know, the Lord gave me one scripture. See, one word from God can change everything. You know, one word from God will change your life completely and take you to places that you've never been before. And it's awesome. I don't know who this is for, partly probably for me, but I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is strong right now. Saying that this is a new beginning, this is a new time. Start seeing beyond. Start taking yourself beyond where you currently are in your mind. Because when I got a hold of Philippians 13 that says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. Within 6 months, I was completely healed of ADD and dyslexia. I was starting to take classes and things that I didn't know, and the Holy Spirit was showing me things. You want to know what happens when you go to work and you have no idea what you're doing? That's where I was at. Every morning I went to work and I cried every morning out to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, and they're going to find out. You know what the Holy Spirit just said? Keep going. Keep walking one step in front of the other. Don't stop walking. Just because you don't know the answer doesn't mean that it ain't going to come. You know, the answer's coming. I don't know if you know this or not, but God has a plan, and that plan is good. There is an answer, and you may not know it right now. And see, we all stop when we don't know an answer, right? But God is saying, keep moving. Don't stop moving because I have a plan for you. I can get you more money. I can get you more education. I can get you whatever you need. I can do it. Tanner, He's going to supply your need for college. He's going to supply everything that you need. The desires that are in your heart, He's going to supply it. Keep moving. He's going to show you. You go with Him. You don't follow the crowd. When somebody else says you have to do it a certain way, you go with what God says, and He'll pay for it.
Yes.
So I have a master's degree in engineering, computer engineering, and I didn't pay for it. See, the thing is God will always supply your need according to His riches, not according to yours, because you don't have anything, by the way. You don't have anything. Because just guess what? You get rid of a job, you get rid of something else, that paycheck to paycheck, and you can't pay your bills because you don't make money out of yourself. You physically have no currency in your possession. When you came into this earth, you were naked, and when you die, you're going to be dust. See, God gives the supply to every single need. Whew, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to tell you what, God has a plan. God is doing something in each and every one of you. God has a purpose for your life, Lee. God has a purpose. there are things that you've dreamed about that haven't come to pass yet. And God says, this is the year that you open up your heart and say, yeah, I'm going to believe that. No matter what has come at you and said no, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what anybody else has done to you. God says, I have a plan for you. Do you say yes? Do you trust? It's going to be awesome. It's going to be good. It's going to be good, Brad.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Brad, this is going to be good. We're going to see people's lives change. There's going to be people who are coming out of financial situations, that are coming out of broken homes, that are coming out of bad situations in their families. We're going to start seeing people have life, true, abundant life. When he says, I came to give life and to give it to you more abundantly. See, there's a lot of people, even in this room, that is not living abundant life. They're living the I just got by. And see, all he's saying is just repent, change your mind, because the kingdom of God has come unto you.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. You, Jesus. Amen. I think I can actually get into this now. Amen.
Thank you.
Love you, Hallelujah. So last week we talked about everlasting life, eternal life. It's the word aionos. It means that without beginning and end, and which always has been and always will be, it never ceases. See, everlasting life, the life that Jesus came to bring us, it started long before you got here. And it's going to be here from now until there is no more time. See, with God, there is no time. See, our lives are but just a short vapor. All of this stuff is temporal. Your situation is temporal, by the way.
Amen, that's right.
Everything that you've ever gone through is temporary. Because his promises are yes and amen. And that's what he came to do, is he came to bring us life and to bring it to us more abundantly. And so this eternal life, we learned last week that it's an eternal and everlasting life is obtaining a life that changes the past impacts and it prevents future impacts of any other circumstances. If something has happened to you, if there's been something that has went on in your life, either you did it or somebody did it to you, or you don't know why it happened, this abundant life takes away, washes all that away from you. So if you had a lost job, if you had a lost loved one, whatever it is, and that pain is too hard to deal with, he said, I came to give you life. And see, as we're going through our lives, we don't live in the impact of a circumstance. Those are just temporal. Everybody turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I may bounce around here. It's going to be verse 1 through verse 11. But therefore, seeing that we have a ministry and that we've received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden thing of dishonesty, not walking in the craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And I want to stop there. This word, him that is lost, is not in the Bible. See, we've had this, that this has to do with people who have not gotten saved. These are the unsaved people. But in verse 3 here, it says the word used there is apolemai. And see, apolemai means destroy. It's one word. It's the Greek word for destroy. When you go look it up and you go see all the different verses, Apollyon, every one of them has to do with something came to an end. It was destroyed. So the translator actually came up and said, because the next verse says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. So there's something going on here where they translated this word into them that are lost. But let me read it with what the original Greek word says, okay? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to destroy. If you take that word literally, it is hid to destroy, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whom is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves the servant of Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, we can be destroyed, but be saved. Because in our mind, the actual good news, that's what the gospel means, is good news. And it is that without that good news, if that good news is hidden from you, then you don't know something, right? See, that's what it's saying here, is that the gospel is hidden by the evil one to destroy. And see, it destroys our physical lives. It destroys our soulical realm. When we don't know a truth, it's harmful. When we don't know the truth, it actually can hurt us. And see, a lot of times we allow things to happen to us and we say, because a circumstance happened, that must be God's will for our life. So I'm just going to go with it and believe something that is hid. And see, that's not the good news. Because as we go down here in verse 7, but we have the treasure in earthen vessels. We have Jesus Christ and His promises on the inside of us. We fully have, we have the answer in us. It's not hidden unto us. But what happens is that when the God of this world comes to blind us, how does that happen? He blinds us through circumstances. He blinds us through making us believe something that is not true. In verse 8, we are troubled on every side and we are distressed. It says, we are cast down, but we're not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? See, we're bearing in our own body the precious promises through His death. Jesus Christ Himself did something on the cross. Jesus had a purpose for dying. We're going to find out some of that here in just a second. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might also be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So the good news is hidden to those who cannot see the promises. They can't see God's full image of who He is. They are blinded and deceived. And see, when we allow things to come against us and we don't counter that with the promise, we don't say, no, you are good, Lord. You have prosperity. You have healing. You have peace inside of me through you. When we don't look at that. When we don't take that as truth, that's ground truth. If we don't take it, we're deceived. And we can be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And see, the light of the knowledge of the promise of Jesus leads us to the treasure of the power of God. In these verses, we find out that God's power has already been manifested in us through, He lives in these earthen vessels. Our bodies were created to take on the Holy Spirit. Our bodies were made. We were created exactly like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and it lives inside of a body. And see, Jesus Himself has a place inside of us. And this was from the foundations. This was before everything was created. It was already decided that God was going to live in us. Not just walk with us, not just talk with us, but He was going to live and co-labor inside of us. Amen. This was decided from the foundations of the world, or before the foundations of the world. So trouble comes and goes, but by the dying of Jesus, life is manifested in our bodies by the promises. So if you want to, you can turn over to Philippians 3, because, you know, I'm one that likes to back up Scripture with other Scripture. So Philippians 3:17, and it says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have as an example." So mark those people that you see walking by the trust, by the faith in Jesus Christ. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you, even weeping. So He's upset because He sees people who are not walking after this. And He says, "And they are enemies of the cross, whose end is the destruction, and whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, and whose mind is on earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For who shall change our vile body, and it'll be made fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the works whereby He is able to even to subdue all things unto Himself." So He took our vile, fleshly temple, and He gave us His body. He has put us into some new thing. We have a complete and total vessel change. You may say, "Well, I don't look different. I don't feel different." But what He did was He said, "If I can get you to change your mind about the promises, if I can get you to change your mind about Jesus and about what's on the inside of you, I can change your body. I can take that vile body and I can change it." Excuse me. Thank you. Needed a little something to drink there. So, subduing ourselves to Jesus every single day brings about life through His promises. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 18, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, but which is for just a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, which we look not to the things which are seen, but to the things that are not seen. For things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." In Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall also reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit he shall reap everlasting life." See, in these verses, He is telling us that we have this temporal thing that is going on. We have these, but only for a moment, circumstances that will hit us. But see, the thing is that when we put our mind and our will and our emotions, our soul, back onto the actual promises of God, those promises will manifest themselves in that situation. We speak unto our problems. Mark 11, 23, 24, it says that if you say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in your heart, that whatever you believe, it shall come to pass. So we're the ones that if we speak about the circumstance, and oh man, it's always been bad, Brad. I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't know what to do, Brad. And you go, but the word says, and I go, yeah, I know all that, but I don't know what to do. Yeah, I believe all that. Like, I've read it. I've read it. I can quote the verse to you, but I don't really know it. Because if I truly knew it, when it got bad, then I would speak unto that circumstance. You know, Brother Mike, we speak unto our circumstances.
That's right. I love it. If I can interject for just a minute. Lord showed me, or talked to me, or reminded me, I should say, it's something I've known all along. But, you know, one thing, there's a difference between a child of God and a believer.
Amen.
And he was sharing with me, he kept saying mountains, mountains. It's those things that stand in your way, keep you from having rest, living in peace. It's obstacles that stand in your way, keep you from living out your dreams, walking out the vision that I've given you.
Amen.
And he says, we spend a lot of time trying to climb the mountains. We're not supposed to climb the mountains. We're supposed to speak to the mountains.
Amen.
That's right. And when we, then he showed me another thing where when we speak to the mountain, how we should. And he also said, we don't need to broadcast about the mountain. I know we say that we're getting our prayer warriors together, but a lot of times we're going to people, they're not experiencing it either.
We're complaining.
Uh-huh. And so we're just sharing it with somebody else that's going to share it with another person. Oh, yeah, now Dusty's got... you know, and it can be finances, it can be health, a number of things, but we need to speak to that mountain. And you gave a perfect example earlier of what we need to do with courage. See, we have authority over the mountains. So when we speak to that mountain, we don't go and pet it. And we don't get on Facebook and say, oh, what are we going to do about courage? Mm-hmm. Oh, courage. What are we going to do, people? He said, courage. Do you want to be spanked?
Yep.
And that's what we've got to do. And we've got to rise up, you know. I'll admit, you know, at one time I did that real well, and I need to get back on track doing it myself. And a lot of the believers do. And, you know, we know what to do. We just need to act on it and do it. And I'm not, you know, I don't want to get back, and I'm saying get back to those times where we, the Word of Faith people, where you couldn't say anything without, oh.
Confession point.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, no, don't say that. You're healed. You know, share it with, but find the people in your life. You have some people in your life that are strong, that are living it and are receiving it. You go to those people. Those are your prayer warriors. Share it with them. Let them pray for you and be in agreement with you, and stop broadcasting.
Amen.
That's what I got.
That's good. You know, Brother Mike, that's awesome. You know, the Lord showed me this week that because I was having a pity party of my own, and you know, I was like sitting there going, I need to, you know, I need to be a warrior. I need, you know, to take down strongholds. I need to speak to my mountain. And my message from last week came back up to my mind where he said, he was like, who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? And he goes and he said, bring those children over here. And he brought them over there and he set them down and he said, if we become like one of them. And all of a sudden, God said, I'm your daddy.
That's right.
You're my kid. It was amazing. I had a Holy Ghost moment, you know, because the thing is that when I live and talk and breathe and act like my father, you know, we were sitting up here playing and Courage comes running up and he's dancing around and doing all this kind of stuff with you, you know, Selena. And, you know, the thing is that when, as children, we act like our parents.
That's right.
You know, our parents do something, we go and we do it with them. And so as we're mimicking what the Holy Spirit is showing us, you know, the thing is the Holy Spirit's not upset. He doesn't get upset when something happens.
That's right.
You know, Dad doesn't get upset when something happens because my daddy can whip your daddy.
That's right.
My dad's bad to the bone. And the thing is that there's nothing that can stand against him.
That's right.
No weapon formed against us shall prosper. See, our belief system is I've got to do in order to get. And see, the thing is that he's sitting there going, well, you can do and you're going to get the same thing over and over and over again. It's called insanity because we get insane trying to get something to work. But see, when Dad goes, hey, you know what? I'm going to teach you how to do this. See, a child learns something. But see, we go, no, I know your word, Lord. I know your word. Now I'm going to, you know what, Josh? We're going to go out here and we're going to take care of this thing. I know how to do it because I've lived a little, right? The thing is that a kid goes, I may have done it before, but I've never done it here. Come on, Dad, show me something. Come on, Daddy Brad, let's tell me how do I do this thing again? You know, I've swam in the lake, but I've never swam in the ocean. There's waves that come up over me. There's things in the water that you don't find. They got big teeth. And see, Dad goes, I don't see anything around here. It's okay to go swim. And see, the thing is that we get scared of the undertow. Have you ever been pulled under as a kid with an undertow? I remember going to the beach, and I know I'm a little bit off topic here, but I'm going to go in this direction for a few minutes. But as a kid, I remember going to the beach, and you'd go down to the water, and all of a sudden, you'd get a little bit further out, a little bit further out, and then all of a sudden, your feet come out from under you, and you're being pulled out. And you know, the first thing you do is you're like, oh, I'm going to die in the ocean, you know, and you're screaming, and you're only in maybe like a foot of water, right? And your dad is standing right there going, what? You know, what's happening? Come on, just get up. But the thing is that the moment that we get hit by the undertow, we're like, we've never had to deal with this before. I've got some resistance. I've got something going on in my life that I've never had to deal with. And God's going, stand up, I'm going to show you how to do this. I'm going to show you how to walk in this riptide. I'm going to show you how to make something out of this.
That's right.
And God teaches you how to become that man. Yeah. See, as children, and we're always as children, right? My dad, Jack Cornelius, I'm still his kid. You know, when I was a kid, I knew more than he did. You know, I was like, Dad, no, I know how this goes on. Now I go talk to him and I realize I know nothing, even to this day. And you know what? I'll go and talk to my dad and he'll sit there and go, yeah, I've talked to this person or I've seen this happen. And he gives me advice from love. He doesn't give me advice from the perspective of I'm gonna just show you how again. Yeah. No, he goes, you know what? I know that's a hard thing you're going through. Yeah. You know, God is actually saying tonight, I know that's a hard thing you're going through. And if you'd let me, I'd teach you something. Would you just come and sit in my lap? I'll teach you something. When was the last time that you did Psalms 46:10 where you just rested in the Lord, where you just sat down and you just thought about Him? Be still and know that I am God. Those that humble themselves shall inherit the earth. Amen. And we get into these, I don't know how to humble myself. It's pretty simple. You rest. Amen. You let the Lord talk to you. See, there's a new thing coming, guys, that we're going to need some daddy time.
Amen. Very good.
I'm telling you, we've got to rest in Him. We've got to go to Him and ask Him some questions. I know this one's got to. I've got to do it just like everybody else, and I've got to go to Him like a child because I won't see it. Because that's what it says over there in Matthew. It says that you will not see the kingdom. It doesn't mean that it's not present. It's there. It's living ever presently inside of you, but you will not know it because you make the circumstance more real than the promise.
Yeah, very good.
And I know that we're getting late on time, so I'm going to move on to this one part because I think this is key. I think this is key to the whole point that the Holy Spirit is taking us to tonight. If everybody will turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. See, our promises are of grace. Our promises are of grace. Excuse me. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He saved us.
Yeah.
See, we always talk about the promise, but you can't talk about the promise without the word salvation.
Right.
Can't talk about the word promise without the word saved. Because it's the only way that we get the promise.
That is the promise.
Mm-hmm. Salvation is the promise. So what is salvation? Mm-hmm. So salvation is the word soteria in the Greek. And these words are specific because there are other words, masculine words for salvation and for sozo, for being saved. There are other words that mean the exact same thing. But the writers, by the Holy Spirit, always use these words. Because they could have used, you know, some other words like soter and some of the other ones to talk about how our wholeness. They could have went and said, we'll make you whole. But see, saved, sozo and soteria, they are specific words in the Greek language that have a meaning. Sozo, from the primary word sos, it is to save, deliver, and protect, and to protect. It means health, preservation, well-being, and being made whole. The word body, just a Greek lesson for a second, the word body that you see whenever you see in the Greek for like, you know, Romans 12:1, or Romans 12:2, where it says that we are to make our bodies as a living sacrifice. That word comes from sozo, soma. It means to be made whole. So the living sacrifice of Jesus Christ is making us whole. And see, when we get into the word soteria for salvation, it means to rescue, or it's safety, it's deliverance, health, salvation. It is being saved. He saved us from the works of the enemy, the lies, the weapons, the physical harm. All of those things are taken care of in these promises. So whenever you say, I don't know what my promises are, they're very simple. When you got saved by Him being on the cross, He gave you health. 1 Peter 2:24 says that by His stripes we were healed. So if we were something, that means we are something. So I'm going to use present tense words that says I am health. I'm not healed. I am health. I walk in health. I speak to the mountain. I speak unto the sinus thing that has been going around because of all the changes in weather. I speak to this influenza, A and B, and everybody, and people are saying, oh, there's deaths and people have lost their lives. Yes, it's serious. That's why we have to be serious about this. That's why we have to be serious. Because if you don't believe it, you're going to die. You will be destroyed, just like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because not knowing the truth brings about destruction. It just is. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And see, we get into these scriptures, and a lot of times we read over them and we say, well, you know, I got some promise and I don't know what that is. But it tells us here, go back and remember. Make this a point to remember what your promise is. Your promise is health and peace. Prosperity, all of those things are in what He did. The Greek word was so awesome because it wrapped it up into one nice pretty bow and put it on the package so that every time we say, I am saved, it means something more than just, I'm not going to hell.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because guess what? That's not what He said He came for.
That's right.
Heretic. He didn't come to save us from hell. He came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. He came to, if you look at John 10:3, He actually came to do away with the works of those people that are teaching wrong teachings. See, we in John 10, we've been taught a lot of things. We have a lot of beliefs that people tell us. I mean, go out and look at Facebook today, because I did. And there was, on Facebook today, there was, I think, 18 deaths from flu. And there was, like, all these different things that was going on. And you know what? Fear is what that breeds. I consider Facebook to be, and all these social media outlets and the internet from all this, they're propaganda tools. They're exactly what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. They are constantly putting out destruction. Now, I move that stuff out of the way and keep going. And I look at all the people who are putting scriptures out there. And there's a good number of them on my Facebook feed, okay? So I look at those. But if I stop and I take that in and I go, oh, Heather, we may need to go to the doctor and have a flu shot because we didn't get one. I mean, I haven't had a flu shot. Our kids hadn't had them years. It's been a long time. I mean, I used to get them every year. But you know what, though? The thing is that one day the Holy Spirit said, well, you're probably going to get the flu. I was like, what? I was like, yeah, you're already pre-ordering the flu because that's what it is. They're injecting you with flu, a strand of the flu. It's dead, but it's the flu. And I'm not against if you want to go and get all that, but I want you to seek first the kingdom.
Yes.
See, if you have a seek first mindset, then you can do something second.
Yeah.
The Lord showed me this a couple of weeks ago, and I was telling a bunch of people in here about that I was having some problems with head sinus stuff, And I mean, it was just locked down tight. And I was like, I want to sleep tonight. And so the Lord, I was like, but you know what? I'm going to stand on the word. I'm going to stand because that's what I've been doing for years. I've been just, I don't take medicine. I just stand. And you know what? The Lord said, well, you know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek you first the kingdom of God. And I was like, yes, I am. I'm like, yes, I am. Hallelujah. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. And the Lord said, but what do you do second? See, that first means it's foundational. It means that I don't stop seeking the kingdom, even if I took a medicine. See, everybody, they'll go, okay, I'm going to try this prayer stuff. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I believe I'm healed. Amen. I don't feel it. Brother Mike goes, I don't feel it. And I go, you know what? I trust the pharmacy over here. And I go over here and I take a handful of pills and then I go, oh, thank God for that pharmacy. Lord, you did thing through pharmacology that, you know, is awesome. The thing is he did. He put it all here on earth. But what am I seeking first? All the time. Amen. See, I took a half of a dose of the sinus stuff. And I went to sleep. But you know what? When I went to bed, do you know that medicine doesn't cure you of anything? Even antibiotics. What it does is it puts your body in the position in order for your body to fight off the sickness or to heal itself. If you believe that medicine does it, because medicine is there to kill something. Antibiotics, they're killing stuff in your body. You take enough of them and it actually will kill you. I mean, it is just, it's truth. And see, that's the problem that we get into, is that we believe a lie that, well, this medicine's going to heal me. So I'm going to put all of my trust in the doctor. Well, do you know if you've got cancer in your body, you know what they do? They burn it out of you with radiation. They almost kill you, and then they bring you back, and then they try to cut something else out. And so if they keep whittling on you, finally you don't have anything. I've known people that have complete missing body parts because they had cancer. Am I saying, well, they didn't seek first the kingdom? No, I'm just saying that if you believe that medicine is better than the health and healing of Jesus Christ, then you're going to miss something one day because they're going to have to cut something off of you. It's truth, because medicine does not heal you. Doctors do not heal you. In fact, they're in a constant state of trying stuff. They just practice medicine. They don't actually know anything. And see, that's what I want for my family, and I have been for years, is that we seek first the kingdom. But you know what? It's okay if you want to take a sinus pill. I probably will take one tonight. But I believe, and I've spoken. Like this morning, I woke up. I'm all, you know, messed up in my nose and my throat and everything. I spoke to it. I can breathe. I don't sound great, but you know what? I'm healed.
That's right.
I am health.
That's right.
Completely and totally. I'll tell a story on Caleb because he was green one night. He was about to throw up. He's over there and he's sitting on the couch and I was like, well, you know, son, you know, Heather said, well, we've already prayed, and he's just sitting over there, and he's kind of, oh, I'm about to throw up. And I said, well, you know that 1 Peter 2:24 says that by his stripes you were healed, so if you were something, then you are something. That means you're health. And he goes, yeah, I'm health. And so I got my iPad and got my Bible out, and I'm reading 1 Peter 2:24. And I'm just sitting here. 5 minutes later, I go, son, you know something, you're health. And he goes, yeah, I'm health. And he's still going, oh. And then 5 minutes later, I go, you know what? You are health. And he said, Dad, I'm health. And you know what? In 5 minutes, he's up there doing jumping jacks, running around. I mean, wouldn't he? I mean, Heather can attest to this. Kaylee can attest to this. Kaylee looked at me and said, he doesn't even do this when he's feeling good. I mean, he was like on a Holy Ghost energy rush, and he's like running around, he's like doing stuff, flipping around the floor, and I was like, okay, your health, I didn't want you to be like a dynamo, you know, I just want you to feel better, you know, we got to sleep tonight, son, okay? But this is the truth, guys.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know how, I feel like sometimes that for people that can't see it, I feel like you're trying to explain theoretical physics to someone. Because the moment you see it, the moment the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, you hear truth and it is revealed by the Holy Ghost. By the way, tonight, y'all are going to get a revelation of this. I'm declaring it out forth that even in areas where in my head I'm like, yes, I've got this. No, there's revelation that's coming to me even by this. The Holy Ghost came out tonight.
Yes.
And he said some stuff that we need to hold on to. We need to write this day down because this day begins something.
Amen.
This is our day, guys. God began something today.
Yes.
And I know it's getting late, but...